The Morning Brew is brought to you by West Rock Coffee.
Good morning!
Morning!
It's time for your Morning Brew.
Things are gonna get weird.
You're gonna eat lightning, and you're gonna crack thunder!
Okay, this guy needs coffee and coolers, stat!
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange mocha frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy, this some serious gourmet s***.
Let's get it on! Cool. The Euro.
ABC there with a call on Saturday night as the Nuggets hung tough for the first half and then got blitzed in the second half, setting up a game two coming up tonight, 8 p.m. tip-off. Michael Malone, after the game, working the officials, hoping to get a better whistle in game two. What role, if at any, did the officiating play in the Nuggets losing game one?
Mike, you know how I feel about officiating. Like, that to me is the ultimate excuse, right? And I understand that Malone is trying to do what Malone can do as far as getting a friendly whistle, maybe for the Joker, get him to the foul line a little bit more. But the bottom line to me, this is about your ability to play perimeter defense. And you had no ability to keep up with the pace with which the Warriors played, the ball movement with which they had, and their ability... Their ability to catch and shoot is remarkable, right? I mean, it just is. They'll catch it in rhythm as they're going up in the air and just take a shot and knock it down. And so that to me is really what it comes down to, is can you play perimeter defense and can you get, can you have them have more misses than they have makes?
Yeah, blaming the officiating is weak. And I heard our guy Will Peterson going on about the officiating. Come on, Will. Come on, Will. First of all, you're on the road in the playoffs. Second of all, you're going up against a team that's got Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, and Steph Curry on the floor, and Steve Kerr on the bench. Okay, those two reasons alone, you're not going to get a friendly whistle. And then the officials naturally are going to reward the more aggressive team. The team that's, as you said, playing with pace and is pushing the issue. Not the team that's kind of, you know, standing around and lumbering around and not playing team basketball, not playing crisp basketball. Who do you think the officials are going to favor? So... stop the complaining. They just got beat fair and square. Next on the Morning Brew.
Uh-oh. High drive, deep left. Take a good look. You won't see it for long. Up on the concourse, the Crone Zone.
Dick shot from CJ Crone. Rockies split with the Cubbies. Rockies are 6-3. Mark, are you seeing reasons through the first 9 games of the season that maybe this team can stay in it longer than was expected?
I think there's some things that you would look at. I think their bullpen has come out and pitched exceptionally well. Now, you know, I get concerned about taxing them because Gomber couldn't go deep yesterday. I slept through his start. Laid down on the floor, my house, and put on the Rockies game for the first inning, and I slept. It was 5-0 when I woke up. So, but hey, man, if I can sleep through his start, why shouldn't Gomber sleep through his start?
Good baseball nap.
Yeah,
is the best. I don't know what better is better, a golf nap or a baseball nap.
Well, the baseball nap is good. Here's the deal: when the home team isn't scoring any runs, the baseball nap is good because the announcers don't get really excited when the other team scores.
Uh-huh.
So, but if your baseball team is hitting homers and putting up runs and all that stuff, then it's not as good because they get excited about that. But I'm watching Drew in the hometown. I'm watching Drew and Spilly and Houston and who else is, all the guys on the broadcast and the gals too. The names escaped me, but yeah, it was a good nap. It was a really good nap.
Well, they're right back at home against the Phillies tonight, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday afternoon. So the baseball rolls on for the Rockies, who are continuing to at least keep us interested early on. Next on the Morning Brew.
Obviously, really happy to get the top seed in our division. Gives us home ice for a round or two. And then the overall race, like I said before, it's not the be-all, end-all, but it's something that we had as a goal from the start of the season to put ourselves in the best position to succeed. If we get to where we want to go, it would give you home ice.
The Avalanche will go into the playoffs fresh off the heels of their greatest regular season in franchise history. The Avalanche right now have 116 points. The 0-1 cup-winning team had 118. They're going to cruise past that. They'll be north of 120. And they will go in with the understanding that this is the greatest regular season Avalanche team ever.
They could lose, effectively, every game.
I know where you're going.
They could lose every game and just basically tie three of them.
Uh-huh.
And
get the record.
And get the record.
Yep.
Because you get the all-important point for the loss of the overtime tie.
Seven games left. All they need are three OTLs.
Yes, OTLs. Overtime losses. And they get you get points for that in hockey. I mean, that's interesting.
So the Avalanche,
that rule didn't exist when the 0-1 Cup team got 118 points.
No.
So if we took away all their overtime loss points, would they still be able to break that record?
Yeah, but back then you had more. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah. You got more points. But this team has. Yeah, I see what you're saying. I got to go back and look closer at that 0-1 team.
Mm.
Their wins, their losses, their ties. But
yeah.
But at least from just a point standpoint, this is shaping up to be the most dominant regular season Avalanche team ever. And I guess where do they belong in that group of the most dominant regular season Denver sports teams ever? That's something we'll revisit here in just a little bit. Next on the Morning Brew.
Lynch drops. He's intercepted. Likely the punt returner was waiting on it. It's stolen away from Lynch.
So I'm flipping around. I see a little USFL football yesterday.
Yeah.
I tune in. And lo and behold, there he is, Paxton Lynch playing quarterback.
Right.
And the results were kind of as you'd expect. 2 for 5 for 1 yard, an interception, and a fumble. A quarterback rating of 1.7. Resembled my GPA, my sophomore year at the Cuse.
Yes.
1.7.
Yes, yes.
I was the Paxton Lynch of students.
Boy, that did not bode well, did it?
And you know what? When I started watching him, mm-hmm. I did find myself rooting for him. You know, I was kind of hoping that, you know, maybe, just maybe, this guy could tap into all that God-given talent, but...
You what? I couldn't help but...
Silly me.
I couldn't help but think, while I was watching, all that talent. Just goes to show you what talent will get you.
What's that?
Well, talent will get you. Talent gets you interceptions and horrible play if you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
But I always tell my son back in when he was coming up, talent's wasted on talented people.
Yeah. Well, there he is, Paxton Lynch, toiling away in the USFL. By the way, good for the USFL. They've got big networks behind them, but did you see the crowd at the game yesterday?
Yeah. Not a whole lot. That's a...
You could have counted it. Just 1, 2, 3.
Right.
I mean, they're probably... weren't more than 500 people in the stands.
No, it was, they tried to keep, I know how they operate with the directors on that. Make sure you try not to take any wide shots that show the stands.
Couldn't help it.
I know, every now and again, you got to
get it.
You got to get it in there.
It was bad. That'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you every morning at 6:30.